Thanks for listening to the best of the Odd Couple podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern, 4 to 7 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Odd Couple at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
You're listening to the best of the Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker.
Happy anniversary, Chris Broussard.
Happy anniversary, Rob Parker. 1 year. Some people didn't think we could last 1 year.
I know. And you know what?
They thought we'd be kill each other by then.
and not at all. And we do want to say to everybody, Chris, who has made this show possible, Rob G., our producer, who's not here today, and, of course, Alex, our engineer.
Yes.
And Elijah, who's our social media guru. And Deb Carson was our original sports update person. Yes. And all the other guys who come in.
Ralph.
And Steve.
And David.
Brian. Gascon, all those guys.
Brian.
All the interns. Yep. Absolutely. Thanks to our bosses, of course, Don Martin and Scott Shapiro. Thank you. Everybody, seriously, in this building, thank you very much for making our jobs a lot easier. And Chris and I have been friends for a long time, but we never worked together this closely like this.
Right.
And what an experience. I told a lot of people, and people have been asking me, and I said, it has been amazing. And Chris, thank you. Just thank you.
Nah, I appreciate that, man. It's so much fun. I mean, it doesn't feel like work. The 3 hours feels more like 35 minutes.
It's fast.
I mean, it goes fast. You and I oftentimes look at each other like, man, the show's almost over. You know, so that means you're having a good time.
Yes.
And I'm excited, man. I mean, I'm looking forward to many, many more years, many more anniversaries of the Odd Couple because I love what we have going here.
No doubt about it.
On top of that, of course.
I was going to say, and throughout the show, before you get to the bigger news, throughout the show, we'll be replaying clips from the first year, from some good moments that have happened on the program. So we'll do that, Chris. But you have even bigger news today.
Well, among those clips, we've got all four of Rob's good jokes throughout the year. All four you'll hear today.
I don't know about that.
But no, seriously, the big news of the day, even bigger than our anniversary,
yes,
of course, is that our producer, Rob G., who we know and love, he's a huge part of this show, as much a part of this show as Rob and I.
No doubt about it.
That's no lie.
He's the backbone.
Does a tremendous job. Yes. No doubt. He does a tremendous job. We rely on him a lot. But he and his wife, Lauren, gave birth to a baby girl, Aria, this morning.
Wow.
It's their first baby. And they're going to be tremendous parents. We know Rob G is going to be a great dad.
He's a great guy.
Right.
And he'll have so much love for that baby. And we're thrilled. We've seen the whole process when she got pregnant, when he told us, and then to see this whole thing unfold in our eyes. And he told me it was a chance that he might not be here today. So, and it did happen this morning. So, congratulations to the Gators.
I feel honored that she was born on our 1 year anniversary.
I know. That is pretty amazing.
I mean, I know it's not a big deal, but, I really do. Like, that's great. That is just awesome. So,
we can never forget our birthday, right?
Right. That's right. That's true. So, this is a special day, and we're looking to a great show.
Yes.
The news of the day, Rob, out of New York, Eli Manning, two-time Super Bowl champion, beloved by fans, will go down as one of the great legends in New York sports history. That's high praise, but it's true, I believe. He has been benched by Coach Pat Shurmur, and rookie Daniel Jones out of Duke will start Sunday against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I think the move, Rob, was a little early. I would have done it after their bye week in October. So I think four more games from now, they would face New England on a Thursday night, October 10th, and they're going to get pummeled, obviously. So at that point, they probably are 2-4 or 1-5, and the season is virtually over. Then you get a week and a half off before you play the weak Arizona Cardinals. And I think that is when I would have started Daniel Jones. You give him that week and a half to prepare. You're playing a bad team in Arizona where maybe he can shine. And you got Detroit the week after that. So, and you'd have Golden Tate, your best receiver, back because he's suspended for the first four games. And Sterling Shepard, your second best receiver, back probably from concussion. So I just think it would have been a better situation for Jones to shine and play well. And you give him a better chance of succeeding right away. However, overall, I think it just needed to be done. And even though I may think it's a little early, I'm fine with it overall.
I don't have a problem with it. I've been calling for it for 2 years. I just don't understand what Eli did to prompt this to happen now. That's what I don't understand. He hasn't played any worse, Chris, than he has been playing.
No.
And the bottom
line.
There's
only one explanation. Shermer's trying to save his job.
Right. This is
now,
about
I know he's,
the,
what, this. Is this his second year?
And they've both been bad. And this is his second year now. And him and the GM, Gettleman, are trying to cover themselves to at least give people some hope. Maybe they get lightning in a bottle or something. Do you know what I mean?
And you talked about it. You gave this incredible stat about how bad their defense has been. What was that again? That was ridiculous.
They've given up in two games 9 touchdowns of 70 or more yards.
Not just, but to drive. Touchdown drive.
Yes.
That's ridiculous.
70 or more, Chris.
That's unbelievable.
And the defense has no turnovers. So they don't have. There's nothing going on defensively. You just said it. Their three top receivers are out.
Well, what this?
What
does,
do they have?
This gives them. At least they may be thinking this. There's two ways they may be looking
at it. On a free pass.
We don't know. Well, one, we said Shermer's trying to save his job. He thinks Jones is better. Look, Jones probably outplayed Eli in training camp. Probably because he certainly outplayed him in the preseason. And he probably was better than him in training camp.
Right.
And so he may think, look, this is our best chance to win. Or it could be a little bit of both. You think, look, rookie quarterback, nobody's going to expect us to win. You know what I mean? Like, I can deflect it. And when we finish 3-13 or 2-14 or whatever it is, it's like, hey, we had a rookie quarterback. What do you expect? You know? So it's probably a combination of those two feelings.
But I do think that that's about them, not about Eli. To me, Eli didn't do anything these first 2 weeks that is different than the way he's been playing. Would you agree with that, right? Nothing.
No, he's been okay, he's been for the last 6 or 7 years.
Absolutely.
And look, I like Eli, even though I'm with you. I've been calling for his job. I thought they should have drafted Sam Darnold. You know, both of us did, you know, last year. But Eli is class personified. I don't know him personally. I have met him a few times. I've spoken at the chapel for the Giants, and he's always there. Really nice guy. His daughters go to the school that my daughters went to in New Jersey.
Really? You're in the highbrow, high rent district.
Yeah, I'm partners with Rob Parker. That takes you places.
Wow.
No, but he's a great guy. Great guy. But I look at it like this, and I feel, honestly, Rob, I feel the same way when I look at a Carmelo Anthony. And I say, look, I get it. It's tough when you have to step away from the game. I get it.
Oh, it's hard.
You still feel like you can play and all that. But you have had a full career. You have. It's not like, you know, a Chris Bosh, who now he got 11 years himself. But
he still feel like
Bosh,
he got shorted. He got shorted, right.
Yeah, because he still was in his prime, and for health reasons, he had to step away. Or a Grant Hill or a Penny Hardaway, who a Derrick Rose, even they're able to play, you know, but they were superstars. And their careers were, you know, their superstar level was cut short because of injuries. Thank God you didn't have to go through that. So Carmelo, if he never plays another NBA game, you have had a full 16-year career. If Eli never starts again, you have had a full 16-year career. So I'm not, pardon me if I don't shed tears for you. You know what I'm saying?
I agree. I totally agree. I don't think that Eli can look at it like he was short thrift. He was at the top twice. Talked about it. He won in New York. He had the parades, Chris, down the Canyon of Heroes.
Yep.
Ticker tape. Nothing better than it. There's nothing better. I'm telling you, I've covered a couple of those.
Yep.
They're incredible. Incredible to be a part of.
Here's the question, Rob, the million-dollar question. Our buddy Rod Woodson, I mean, and we do have to protect Rod on that because he said he's never going back to the Hall of Fame again.
Yeah, we told him, don't do that.
He's a Hall of Famer, right, because we both think, you know, that is a great chance Eli gets in. Mark Schlaver said he thinks he'll get in too. I just want to hear from you. He's a Hall of Famer in your opinion?
Yes. To me, he's a Hall of Famer. No ifs, ands, or buts, and I gave
not
you
not a first ballot though.
I don't know how they work with that because some of the stuff that they do and the way the writers do it is different from what I'm used to in baseball. You know what I mean? Like
yep.
You have to go, writers have to go and make a case for somebody, and you know what I mean, and like make a speech to try to convince the other writers, which is just weird to me, because their numbers. And their accolades, Chris, should speak for themselves. You know what I mean? You shouldn't have to convince people. But anyway, I doubt it would be the first ballot the way that they do it. But the two Super Bowl wins over Tom Brady and the Patriots, the two MVPs, the two signature
in the Super Bowl, not regular season.
In the Super Bowl, and the two signature throws is enough. And again, the final straw of the whole thing is he defeated that 18-0 Patriots team. And don't forget, with 2 minutes to go, 2.5 minutes to go, Tom Brady throws a touchdown to Randy Moss, right?
Yep.
They're winning, and he has to drive down and win. So I don't know. I don't know how you could look at that and not think that that's not worthy of being in the Hall of Fame, winning two Super Bowls and winning two Super Bowl MVPs.
Well, you're looking, those that would say he's not a Hall of Famer are looking at the other things, which is his regular season. He's 116 and 116 as a starter, 50%. He has had, of his 16 seasons, Rob, he's only had 7 winning seasons.
I get it.
7 winning seasons, and he's never been phenomenal. The thing he's led the league in most is interceptions. 3 times he's led the league in interceptions. So, that's what people are looking at, and I get it. Look, 2 of the guys, his draft class, great for quarterbacks. Going to be 3. If Eli gets in, it's probably going to be 3 Hall of Famers. Phillip Rivers, Ben Roethlisberger, and Eli Manning.
And see,
and from a regular season standpoint, it's not even close.
I wouldn't take Phillip Rivers over him. Really wouldn't.
In the regular season, they've been better. Here's what I'll say about that. I think Roethlisberger's definitely had a better career.
No, he's won two Super Bowls.
Two Super Bowls.
No,
and
I'm talking about
better in the regular.
I'm talking about Phillip Rivers.
Phillip Rivers, I believe, is a better quarterback and has had a better regular season career. However, if you ask me whose career would I rather have, if I'm a player and I could either be Eli Manning or Phillip Rivers, I would rather have Eli's career. He's got 2 Super Bowls.
I'm sorry. I'm with you. You could have all the regular season stuff. If you get that moment. Remember, I told you this before. Hispanic players on the Tigers used to have a nickname for Kirk Gibson. And his nickname was Two-Hit. That's what they call him. That was his nickname. Because Kirk Gibson has hit 2 of the biggest home runs in baseball postseason.
Right.
And you can say all you want, Chris. Would you rather have those 2 home runs, the one that helped the Dodgers win and beat the A's that big game against Dennis Eckersley, and the other home run against Goose Gossage in the World Series? I would take those 2 hits.
No, I agree.
I would.
I agree. Now, he's not in the Hall of Fame.
No, he's not. But I'm just saying.
He's never even been an All-Star.
No, he's not.
You know, but you're right. He's known, though.
But he's known for those.
Everybody
right, knows about Kirk Gibson. That home run he hit off Dennis Eckersley is one of the most iconic home runs in sports history.
No question. And look, Eli has been a four-time Pro Bowler. So it's not like, you know, he was garbage in the regular season. At times he was, but, you know, he had his moments even in the regular season. But there are sometimes, Rob, players who, because of their postseason, I mean, just iconic moments. Now, you mentioned Kirk Gibson. He was not good enough in the regular season to be a Hall of Famer. Robert Horry, same thing. Robert Horry, you know, some of the greatest shots we've seen in the playoffs, but not good enough in the regular season to be a Hall of Famer. I don't want to hear anybody. I've heard people say, seven championships. Stop it, okay? But my favorite player growing up was Lynn Swann. I was a huge Lynn Swann fan. And Lynn Swann had to wait forever to get in the Hall of Fame. And I get it. His numbers weren't, you know, they didn't throw the ball like
Remember,
that.
Remember, they used to run the football at a guy named Franco Harris.
Right. But his numbers weren't, you know, fantastic. But his numbers were good. He made some Pro Bowls. And he had some of the most iconic catches in NFL history in the Super Bowls against the Cowboys. I mean, he had some phenomenal catches. And that's kind of how I look at Eli Manning. Now, he obviously played much longer than Lynn Swann and obviously a more important position. But similar, Rob, the iconic moments, that helmet catch, and you said it earlier. David Tyree's a good friend of mine.
Right.
But that's, I don't know how you even explain that other than supernatural. You know, he catches a ball.
But the only thing I say, if you watch the play,
he had to scramble in the pocket and avoid the sack. It was phenomenal.
Phenomenal. If you look at that, you say, how did he even do it?
Right. Just to be able to throw it. And, you know, and in the other Super Bowl, same thing. You know, and so, and you're right. Beating Tom Brady, beating that 18, that Patriot team would have gone down as the best team in history.
Yes.
There's no.
You remember Brady had 50 touchdowns and Randy Moss was unbelievable. Their defense, everything. They had everything. They were supposed to go 19-0. They weren't supposed to lose that Super Bowl. No way. And remember, they only scored 14 points there. 14 points.
Yep. So I do agree with you. I don't think he should be or will be a first ballot Hall of Famer. I mean, he could be a first ballot. You and I know this. You wrote for the New York Daily News and Newsday. I wrote for the New York Times. We know the New York market. Everything is magnified for good or bad.
Yeah, both.
When you do it in New York.
Both.
Right. And so those two Super Bowls, look, if he had won those Super Bowls, Rob, in, say, Seattle or, you know, Minnesota or somewhere, Jacksonville, maybe he's not a Hall of Famer.
I don't know. Two MVPs is still big.
Yeah. I think it means more in New York. Like, I think this will help him being that it was New York.
I don't disagree with that, but I just think if he was just on a team, you know what I mean? Like, we were talking about Jim Plunkett, right? And you weren't the MVP, but you were the quarterback that won two Super Bowls. Do you know what I mean?
He was the driving force.
He was the driving force. That's the difference, and I think that's big.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker, weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific.
It's The Odd Couple, Chris and Rob, and it's the moment we've all been waiting for since Sunday night, or maybe I should say Monday night. It's Parker's Power Rankings.
Can you increase your power?
Do you need the power?
Yeah.
Well, here it comes.
Power.
Can you feel the power?
It's Parker's Power Rankings.
All right, here we go. The hard part is to decide who's going to be number five.
Number five.
I wasn't sure if it was going to be the Patriots or the Chiefs. One of those two teams, so I'm going to pick the Patriots.
Unbelievable.
They didn't play anybody.
They
didn't play anybody.
They don't need to.
43 points against that pathetic, pitiful Miami Dolphins. That doesn't count as a win in the NFL.
The Patriots should have started off as your number one team. They're
no,
the defending
stop
champ.
It. Can
number
I,
one.
Give them some respect.
Can I do my own power thing? When you do that basketball thing you do, I don't say anything.
that basketball thing I
whatever
do.
Whatever you do.
Number four.
Number four, the Kansas City Chiefs. Again, yeah, they scored 28 points in the second quarter, but nothing the rest of the game. Where were they? I don't understand. They were pouring it on. They got the best quarterback and whoever played quarterback in the history of sports in Patrick Mahomes. Again, I'm discounting the Patriots and the Chiefs because of the competition, which is basically no competition. All right.
Number three.
Number three. I'm going to go with the Browns. I mean, not the Browns. I mean, the Ravens. I'm going to go with the Baltimore Ravens.
They
2-0.
Played Miami 2 weeks ago.
Wow. Yeah, but they came back with another win. And I know they played the Cardinals, but they had to play, and it was a close game.
They have played. Thank you.
Be quiet.
A close game against the hapless Arizona Cardinals.
They tied the Lions.
The freaking
they
division
tied the Lions. Can
Miami
I do,
Dolphins.
Can I do my power rankings?
The Dolphins are NAIA, man, and you giving them
stop
credit.
Stop it, Alex.
Where's cut the rival? The my, reason.
Cut Chris's mic off. Stop
Gosh.
It. All right?
Number
I'm just
two.
Having a hard time sitting still for this.
All right. Number two, the Rams. I'm going to go with the Rams. They had a convincing win, of course, over the New Orleans Saints. I know Drew Brees got hurt, all the other stuff, but the Rams, somebody thought that they weren't going to make the playoffs, and guess what? They're 2-0, Chris Broussard.
I'll give you that.
You
one.
Stick
that was
to
a,
basketball.
That
was a bad
pick.
Decision.
I'll give you that.
Rack
the Rams
em.
Are going to make the playoffs.
I mean, what were you thinking? Yeah. Were you thinking about the Lamb Chops weren't going to make the playoffs or the Rams? I mean, really, Chris. All right.
Get to
number
your,
one.
Get to your number one. This is ridiculous.
And you know, number one.
I don't even know if they should be in the top five.
Is the Green
one.
Bay Packers.
Trust the process.
Yes. The Green Bay Packers. Did you see the way they came out of the gate in this game against the Vikings? They ripped off touchdown drives. 75 yards. 63 yards. 33 yards. And they basically
and
put the game.
And held on for dear life.
They won the game 21-16.
Held on for dear life.
It's about wins and losses, Chris Broussard, and nothing else. And don't forget, it's the second game in a row where the Packers have beaten a division rival. They're in the driver's seat in the NFC North. What did they do? They beat the Bears, and now they beat the Vikings. And in both games, their DBs picked off passes, game potential game-winning passes, in the end zone to end the games. They are balling, Chris, and when they get the offense, this new offense together with Aaron Rodgers, they will be a force to be reckoned with. The Green Bay Packers are the best team in the National Football League. Lee, am I right?
No, you
damn
ain't
right.
Lee knows I'm right.
Lee, stay on the mic. You really agree with him, Lee?
That defense is something else.
It is.
Okay,
it's special.
The defense is tough.
Lee is special. And wait a minute, but think about this, Chris.
And what about all the other quarterbacks,
Chris,
that were able to, you know, start the season off running?
But the one thing you got to give them is they do have two divisional wins in their division.
Agree.
That's huge.
Their defense is real, and Rodgers is going to get better. But number one?
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
We're joined by Robert Klimko, football writer for Sports Illustrated. Just came out with a very good piece on Antonio Brown. Informative, investigative, actually uncovered a second accuser as far as accusing Antonio Brown of sexual assault. And she does not want any money. She's not, you know, trying to press charges or anything. But Robert is joining the Odd Couple. Robert, welcome. Tell us about this this second accuser and how that came about. And, you know, it's just interesting that she's not trying to press charges or anything. Why is she kind of coming forward?
Yeah, and thank you guys for having me on.
Yes.
I have to clarify that it's not a case of sexual assault. It's more of sexual harassment, sexual misconduct.
Okay.
But I'll get there. we started out this story by reaching out to people that had sued him for not paying up. You know, whether it was the chef he owes $38,000 allegedly, or the fish tank aquarium installer he owes $2,000. You know, we thought these stories were kind of bizarre and interesting. Why isn't Antonio Brown paying his bill? We were connected by a lawyer with a woman who alleges that Antonio Brown hosted a charity softball game for their foundation, which benefits and empowers kids to read in Pennsylvania, and he ends up buying a painting at auction of himself painted by a young woman for $700. And so he says he's going to pay the $700, and then he gets the young artist's number, and he has her come over to his house, and he says, I want you to, in addition to this painting, paint a mural of me in my home on my wall. And so she's knelt down on day two painting this thing, and he comes up behind her, and he's stark naked with a washcloth covering his test or his genitals, and he starts having a conversation with her, and she's not interested. She continues working, and then the next day he cuts off the relationship, pays her for a time, but does not pay for the original $700 painting that she donated to the charity. And so the people running the charity are emailing Antonio, emailing Drew Rosenhaus, saying, we need our $700. And these people are just flabbergasted that this man who's worth over $60 million is now essentially stealing art from a charity in addition to trying to proposition this young woman, and then when it goes bad, firing her.
This whole, I don't know. Help me out here. This is the problem I have, and I think the NFL, this is where they get into trouble when I get it. You don't need to – they've made their own – the commissioner, the judge, jury, executioner. If you tarnish the shield, they can do whatever they basically want. That's what the union signed up for, right, with the commissioner. But I didn't think that the league did anything wrong by allowing him to play in this first case, in the first situation – because it's not a criminal and it's a civil suit. Do you agree with that, or you think the league should have acted quicker than that on just a civil suit?
I agree with you. You know, I think that it was good that they interviewed the first accuser in the federal lawsuit filed by Brittany Taylor on Monday. I think it's good that they're going through the process of deciding whether or not she's credible. The odd thing to me is that the Patriots did really apparently no work in kind of investigating the background of Antonio Brown and figuring out whether or not this was a signing that was going to blow up in our face. And I know that they didn't talk to any of the lawyers who are behind or are representing clients in any of these lawsuits for lost wages. But I do find it hard to believe that Drew Rosenhaus didn't say to Bill Belichick, I know you want to sign my guy. We've been in discussions with this woman to drop this lawsuit for this sexual assault accusation, and she's probably not going to drop it, and it's probably going to come out. I find it really hard to believe that the Patriots didn't know that, and I know it was reported by NFL.com via source that Robert Kraft didn't know about it. I don't believe it.
But, Robert, let me ask you this real quick. The Lions had a similar thing with their head coach, Matt Patricia, who was involved in something. And somebody did, what do they call that thing, Nexus or whatever, search?
Yeah,
Nexus.
Yeah, from a reporter at the Detroit News, and it popped up. And the Lions had no idea when this story was hit the paper that this had gone on, and that was an easy search to do. So I think NFL teams don't do their due diligence, because I saw that happen.
I think that there's a big difference between the Lions PR staff not knowing how to do their job and Bill Belichick not having all the information available. I think Bill Belichick tends to have all the information that's available.
Robert Klefko of Sports Illustrated joining the Odd Couple. Robert, I mean, obviously, your story, you, like you said, you talked to people who Antonio Brown had not paid for their services. There was a chef who I think he owed about $38,000, who he never paid. We've seen the behavior in Oakland and Pittsburgh and all that, and then, you know, the sexual harassment and assault charges or accusations and things like that. So we see what Antonio Brown has become, at least allegedly. But you mentioned in your story, you know, he grew up in Liberty City in Miami. Even the woman, Brittany, I can't remember her last name, Brittany Taylor, who accused him of assault, said they met at a Bible study at Central Michigan. I remember when he came out of college, the scouting reports were that he was selfless, not selfish, selfless. In your reporting, did you get the feeling that this is just a guy that has completely changed his personality, or the superstardom has gotten to him and he has become an entirely different person than what he was maybe when he was in college, his younger days, and maybe when he just got in the league and wasn't a star?
Yeah. Well, let me just say first that, you know, when you write a profile on a guy, as you both know and as you both have done, you're scratching the surface in a lot of cases. And, and you're talking to a bunch of people, you're talking to the guy, but you're not equipped to psychoanalyze the man or the woman. With that said, you know, I talked to people that were mentors of his and teammates and friends, and all of them talked about how Antonio gravitated to people in position of authority who he was able to respect. So there were a couple high school coaches that mentored him throughout his professional career. There were college coaches and a college team chaplain that mentored him. And all of them talked about those people being able to curtail Antonio's worst instincts and to calm him down when he got fired up for the wrong reasons. When Antonio got to the NFL and he started getting paid better and better, he started getting endorsement deals, he got a contract with the Pittsburgh Steelers, people in that organization talk about how his behavior worsened and worsened and worsened. And then fast forward to the last 3 months, and several of the mentors from high school that he had spoken with weekly are now out of touch with him. All of the people that were friends with him, that were in his circle, in his entourage, have been rotated out and cast aside. And the only constant in his life right now, as far as I can tell, is Drew Rosenhaus. And Drew Rosenhaus is not somebody who's going to take a client and try to fix them.
Right.
He's going to deal with the storms as they come and represent you after you make mistakes. And so that's who Antonio is leaning on at this moment.
Great stuff, Robert. Yes. And it's a great read. Go to SportsIllustratedSI.com. Check it out.
Appreciate you, Robert Klimko.
Thanks a lot for the knowledge. Great stuff.
Thank you, guys.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker. Weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific.